And now, WCHL presents its 2013 Year in Review. Over the next hour, we'll take you back through Chapel Hill, Carberry, and Orange County's top 10 stories and top 10 newsmakers of the year. Now, alongside the news staff, here's WCHL's news director, Rand Northam.
From the new chancellor on campus to the protest in Raleigh, a flood damaging buildings of old and the construction of new, the news team voted on this year's top stories as we say goodbye to 2013 and usher in 2014. We'll take a look back at not only the biggest headlines of the year, but also the people that made them happen. Join us over the next hour and see if your top 10 matches up with ours.
Number 10.
Our number 10 story of the year takes us back to where we left off in last year's Year in Review. Even if you never knew Faith Hedgebeth, just looking at a picture of the 19-year-old, you could still feel the warmth radiating from her smile. More than a year has passed since the UNC student was murdered in her apartment, and yet her killer's identity remains a mystery. To remember Faith, the Carolina community came together on September 7th, the anniversary of her death, for a memorial walk across campus. Faith, who belonged to the Haliwasapony tribe, was a member of the UNC American Indian Center. Amy Locklear, director of the center, spoke at the ceremony.
Beautiful, just stunning, and just this warmth about her that you just sort of wanted to talk to her and engage her because she was so welcoming and just this, you know, innocence and trusting about her.
Faith's body was found by her roommate at 11 in the morning on September 7th of last year in the Hawthorne at the View apartment. Chapel Hill Police announced in January that they had found a man's DNA evidence at the scene, but are still searching for the killer. The apartment complex is inside the Durham County line, and the Durham District Attorney's Office will prosecute a suspect if one is ever found, though the Chapel Hill Police Department is the investigating agency. Interim Durham County District Attorney Leon Standback says that his office will continue to ask the courts to keep the investigation documents sealed to protect information that only investigators and her killer would know. Those who knew her said they are keeping the faith that they will one day have closure. Staying on UNC's campus, our number 10 newsmaker is a man who needs no introduction. Few public figures resonate more to a state than Dean Smith in North Carolina. It was often said that if the former Carolina basketball coach ran for governor, he would have won hands down. But this year, Coach Smith settled for the Presidential Medal of Freedom. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
Dean Smith deservedly received the Presidential Medal of Freedom November 20th at the White House. Coach Smith's wife, Linnea Smith, accepted the honor in her husband's absence in the 50th year of the medal, alongside the likes of Hall of Fame baseball player Ernie Banks, former President Bill Clinton, and talk show host and philanthropist Oprah Winfrey. On the court, Coach Smith won two national championships, and when he retired, he was the winningest coach in college basketball history. But President Barack Obama says Coach Smith's achievements go far beyond the confines of a basketball court.
Even as he won 78% of his games, he graduated 96% of his players.
Taking a stand in a time period when many high-profile figures sat on the sidelines, Coach Smith used his position to advocate for civil rights. In fact, Coach Smith recruited UNC's first black scholarship athlete and helped in Chapel Hill's desegregation process in the 1960s. President Obama says Coach Smith's courage and character were exemplary throughout his career.
He helped integrate a restaurant and a neighborhood in Chapel Hill. That's the kind of character that he represented on and off the court.
Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Number 9.
While UNC basketball is one of the greatest in the land, the hospitals associated with the university carry a special story of their own and bring us our number 9 story of 2013. 3-year-old Grayson Clamp was the first child in the U.S. to receive an auditory brain stem implant, and thanks to a team of doctors from UNC, he heard for the first time this summer. Len Clamp, Grayson's father, said in the month since his miracle operation, Grayson has begun to learn to talk.
So he'll point to his ear so that you tell him what he's hearing, you know, which is just really cool, and so he does that constantly. Everything is really a teaching moment with him now.
The moment that Grayson heard his father say for the first time, "Daddy loves you," was captured on film this summer and has since been embraced worldwide. The proud father said that his son has mastered several words: up, bye-bye, no-no, and open. In April, Grayson received the implant as part of a Food and Drug Administration-approved clinical trial at UNC hospitals. Grayson, who was adopted by the Clamp family, was born without a cochlear nerve, which transmits sound information from the cochlea to the brain. Though it was a successful procedure, Clamp said the doctor's expectations have been conservative because Grayson's case is unprecedented.
He's had to climb already some pretty tough mountains at a young age. There's just going to be no end to what he gets involved in.
Doctors estimate it will be 12 to 15 months before Grayson can communicate meaningful speech and connect learned hand gestures with word meanings. We'll head back to campus in a moment, but the subjects of our number 9 newsmaker's story have found a new home in our town halls throughout Orange County. The 2013 election cycle was a low-key affair, and voter turnout reached historic lows, but the 15 men and women who won seats in Orange County in November were still among the biggest newsmakers of the year. Those 15 include George Zanciolo, who was in the news all year for his work with the Chapel Hill Public Library even before getting elected to town council.
I think it's certainly going to be a building and a resource that's going to do Chapel Hill proud.
And Maria Palmer, who became the first ever Latina to serve on town council when she took the oath of office in December.
I am proud to be a Latina. I am just as proud to be a Chapel Hillian.
Also elected to town council were Ed Harrison and Sally Green, who actually won two races for town council this year, once by appointment in January and once by election in November.
I've never been prouder to be your representative at this table. I'm deeply grateful for the opportunity, promise to do my best, and I'm ready to get back to work.
And at the mayoral level, Mark Kleinschmidt and Tom Stevens easily won re-election in Chapel Hill and Hillsborough. And in Carrboro, Lydia Lavelle won an uncontested race to succeed Mark Chilton.
And I am excited about helping to carry on this rich tradition that is Carrboro.
Election news may not have dominated the headlines in 2013 as it often does, but rest assured the 15 who won will be in the news for a long time to come.
Number 8.
Take a trip down Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and turn onto Eubanks until you meet up with Rogers Road. That's where we find the subject of our number 8 news story of the year, about which 2013 has been a year of progress and setbacks for the residents of the community. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend looks back.
The Rogers Road community celebrated the closing of the county landfill in June of this year, after living next door to the dump for more than four decades. Barbara Hopkins has lived in the neighborhood since 1963. She witnessed the landfill's closing firsthand.
This is a victory for me. I am so happy just to see that gate locked.
This spring, the Historic Rogers Road Task Force came together to recommend that Orange County, Carrboro, and Chapel Hill split the nearly $6 million cost of running sewer lines to homes in the area. And county commissioners pledged $650,000 to build a new community center, replacing one shuttered by permitting violations in the summer of 2012. But by the time summer turned to fall, progress on the remediation plan began to grind to a halt. In July, the EPA launched an investigation into claims the Orange County Planning Department engaged in environmental racism against the Rogers Road community by failing to apply for federal grants to bring sewer to the area. This ties the county's hands for the foreseeable future. Then in September, plans for the community center came in over budget, further delaying the project. Elected officials continued to hash out a cost-sharing plan throughout the fall, but in November, the discussion ended with finger-pointing and recrimination over who pays what. Here's Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton with Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt.
We've stepped up to the plate, and all I get is this bullshit about how you can't put any money in, and I'm not putting in enough.
I don't think that anyone in the town of Chapel Hill says we will not put any money in.
Yeah, I hear a lot about why you can't.
On the one hand, talks are underway to make it easier for Chapel Hill to contribute funding, and some do see progress in drawing the EPA investigation to a close. On the other hand, the best laid plans have a way of being waylaid, especially when it comes to Rogers Road. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Before we take a break, let's take a quick trip back to campus, where the faculty chair is this year's number 8 newsmaker. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
As chair of the faculty at UNC, Jan Boxall made the news early in 2013 by fighting for faculty interests as UNC system leaders were developing the university's new long-range plan.
I was really concerned. However, if we stay on top of what it is that's important to us, I'm hopeful.
That was in January, but in July, Boxall found herself swept up in the university's ongoing athletics scandal when a July 20th article in the News and Observer accused her of covering up information and changing words and details on official reports to keep the NCAA from returning to campus for another round of investigations and sanctions.
It's painful. I've been trying in very many ways to get out in front of some of the things and also to recognize that no issue is simple.
The reports came out of a subcommittee that Boxall herself had formed to look into the issue of fraudulent classes in the African and Afro-American Studies Department. For her part, Boxall said the changes were made out of concern for accuracy, an explanation that was corroborated by her fellow faculty.
The faculty executive committee knows Jan Boxall and knows that her only interest was in accurate wording of the report. This was affirmed by those faculty who were involved in authoring the report.
The controversy, such as it was, died off shortly thereafter. But still, the important role she played in all of UNC's biggest issues made Jan Boxall a familiar face in the news of 2013. Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
You're listening to the 2013 Year in Review. Coming up next,
we're in a fight for the soul of this state.
Stay tuned.